Morning, we're going to continue to share about affirmation as we've been focused this month in that area of being able to show appreciation, giving thanks, expressing the value that we hold in relationship with God and the different ways that we worship. I've noted to you before, I'm just drawing some inspiration from Gary Chapman's Five Languages of Appreciation that include words of affirmation, gift giving, physical touch, quality time, acts of service. All of those are things that are related to the love languages, of course, that he's much more famous for. But those words of appreciation, next screen up there, the are where we've drawn some inspiration in this month. And today, I want to focus on words of affirmation. And one of the things that we would think of right away, perhaps whenever we think of expressing our thanks and our appreciation to God with words of affirmation, would be that we come together and we sing songs, we express our praise and worship in those fashion and words. And yet, today, I want to really draw our attention to a testimony. That's where the Lord really set my heart this morning, to realize that whenever we speak words of affirmation about the Lord, it needs to be more than just happy Jesus songs that we come and sing together. As valuable and as powerful and as important as that is, we need to have that affirmation of Christ in our lives as a testimony and be able to express that testimony day in, day out to others. And so that's why I shared with you earlier that we'll focus on testimony today. I want to offer you, before I go on to our scripture reading, though, for the message, I want to highlight a psalm, because, again, I've been also encouraging you to, throughout the week, to just pick up your Bible and read a psalm on a daily basis to be reminded to give thanks and to offer that. Psalm 13 is a psalm that I want to share with you this morning. Psalm 13 is a psalm that I discovered years ago at a time whenever I was feeling terribly depressed and was greatly struggling to be able to express myself in any warm fashion to God. Was sometimes feeling just simply shut down in being able to pray. I would sometimes then begin with the Lord's Prayer. That's why a lot of the time, instead of ending a prayer time with, okay, and now let's say the Lord's Prayer, I start with the Lord's Prayer very often with us, just modeling something to you that I found personally, that there were times whenever I found it hard to find my way into prayer, that I would start with something as simple as that, beginning with the Lord's Prayer and thinking about each line, each expression as I went through it, and actually praying it, not just reciting it. And it became kind of an avenue into prayer for me at times whenever I was really struggling with that. This psalm also became kind of an avenue of prayer for me at a time whenever I was feeling incredibly depressed, because it expressed a lot of what I was feeling, and yet it had a turnaround at the end that gave me hope. And so it may be a psalm that helps you to be lifted up, to actually remember to give thanks, to have an appreciation of the presence of God, even at a time in your life whenever you may be struggling. And if I seem a little down this morning energy-wise, I think that I've realized that there are, as I said, there are people that are really struggling in our congregation. Some that are struggling with financial issues, some that are struggling with health issues, some that are just plain struggling in their lives right now, and different things happening. And I think this morning, somehow I'm just feeling that. And so this is a psalm maybe for me this morning with you, okay? So let's give attention. Just listen or follow along in your Bible. Here it says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Maybe that speaks to you this morning, where you're at. Maybe it'll be an important one for you to remember someday. You can think of it as that unlucky number, you know, as people think that way. Number 13, you know. And 13 then, easy number to remember and go back to and to find on a day whenever you need that lift into the praise. Because David expressed a heart that was ready to break, that said, I'm going to die if you don't help me, God. My eyes are going to close in death, he said. And yet, at the end, there's that resonance of hope. It says, but I'm going to trust your unfailing love. I am happy. I rejoice about your salvation. I know it because the Lord has been good to me. And sometimes you got to look back and remember, God's been good to me. He's not going to let me hang, and I can trust him. I can count on him and move forward. So take that this morning to give thanks. Be reminded of that daily, to give thanks to God. Now, for the message this morning, let me draw your attention to a couple of other scriptures that are about testimony, and the Lord's calling to us to give testimony and be prepared in this. In the bulletin, I listed some scripture. I'll expand on that. Matthew 10, verses 16 to 20, and then verses 32 and 33. Here the scripture says, Thanks, Sean. Jesus says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And then, a little further down in the passage, in verse 32, Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven, but whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. And one further scripture, this one from the book of Acts, verse 8 in the first chapter of Acts. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. So in these scriptures, we have some great calling and some great promise, right? You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. How? Why? Because you have been observant of those things. You are witnesses. And because you have the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to go and do that. That echoes what Jesus said in Matthew, where he said, listen, there's going to come a time where you will be hauled before even kings and governors, turned over to the legal authorities under persecution. But he says, don't panic. This is so that you will be a witness for me. And the Apostle Paul demonstrated this in his own life, that when he was arrested, when he was imprisoned, he took every opportunity to be able to declare his testimony. When he stood before King Agrippa and Governor Festus, what did he lay before them? Did he argue his case? Did he argue a legal precedent? Did he go through all that? No, he simply stood there and told them his testimony. And expressed why it was that he had given his life to Christ, and why he was doing what he was doing. But he did so with a genuine interest in sharing with them the gospel. I love to see the Grahams whenever they've been on different interview shows. Billy Graham demonstrated this. Franklin Graham follows suit in the same manner, that you watch those guys and they get onto some television program where they're being interviewed. Maybe Franklin's being interviewed about Samaritan's Purse, because that's a great charitable work and a great act of kindness. And so even people in the world turn on to that and get interested in it. But what does Franklin Graham manage to do time and time again? Somehow he manages to speak the gospel of Christ and to declare our hope and a testimony that Jesus Christ died for us because God loves us, and that you can turn to him in faith and have forgiveness of sins, and God will change your life. And he'll work that in. It seems like no matter what kind of circumstance, no matter what the interview is about, he'll end up telling a testimony about the gospel of Jesus. It's incredible to watch this unfold. This is exactly what Jesus says now. Don't sweat it then. Even to the point that Jesus says, don't let yourself get in a panic about what you're going to say or how you're going to say it. Don't get yourself like in such a panic over it that you forget to rely on me. He says, rely on me and I will put words into your mouth. Stuff's going to come out of you that you know you didn't have the brains, the wit, the courage, the sharpness to pull it off. But bam, you end up having to say, my goodness, that had to have been the words of God coming out of my mouth. That had to have been the Spirit of the Lord bringing that out. I've been blessed to see that happen in my life and in the lives of others time and time again. I've been in counseling situations where I'm talking to people and I'm in the deep end, way over my head, and saying, God, I don't know what I'm going to say here. Many, many times you meet people and you're not sure, how in the world am I going to somehow say something to them that's going to edify, that's going to be, you know, a thing. And man, I haven't a clue. I'm sitting there scratching my head, and it's that leaning back onto the Lord and saying, dear God, I'm going to count on the power of the Holy Spirit to help me in this. And you get that inner ear of your spirit tuned into the Spirit of God to listen for the thing that God would inspire and move you to bring forth. And it's amazing how you come away from a conversation and you just have to kind of lift up your hands and say, you did it, God. That wasn't me. Even preaching, I tell you, there are lots of times that, there are some weeks that I come and I got like the whole PowerPoint thing all laid out. You can see whenever I'm in teaching mode and I've got it, you know, ping, 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 fill in the blanks, you know, all that kind of stuff. But there are other times where it's like I got some idea of what God wants to get done, but I don't have all the details, and I will discover them when they come out of my mouth. Sometimes I think it's because the Lord really wanted to get something across to me at long last. But praise God, for his promise is true, is what I'm saying. His promise is true, that by his Holy Spirit we are witnesses. By his Spirit, things can come out of our mouth with greater effect, greater courage, greater insight than we would have by our own means and ability. But by the power of God's Spirit living in us, we can say the right thing at the right time and see the hand of God move. And Jesus said, you know, even, you know, he puts this to us as a calling of such importance that he says, you've got to do this. You've got to do this, because if I'm at the center of your life, if you value me and appreciate me, then you've got to acknowledge me before others. And if you don't, then how in the world am I going to be talking to Dad about you? You know, it's like I can't be acknowledging you before the Father if you can't acknowledge me in front of other people. This is so vital to our life, to our walk of faith, that we are willing and that we are in pursuit of the opportunity to express testimony in our lives. Testimony. It's so vital to our relationship with Jesus and so vital to our faith, and that we would thus be able to see the power of God work in us and see other people's lives touched by that power of God working in us. And that's going to be for edification, or in other words, for encouragement and strengthening of other Christians at times. And it's going to be for witnessing to people who don't know the Lord and who need to know God's grace. And so that you and I have that means, we have that ability. So let me say this morning, can I get a witness? You know, in some churches, that's an expression, you know, that they'll throw out there. You know, can I get a witness? And what they expect is some shout out, you know, that, you know, yeah, amen, preacher, yeah, preacher, go on, you know, all that. You know, some churches are kind of, you know, get you excited. It's always dangerous when that sort of thing happens, so, you know, I've preached in those kind of contexts, you just never want to quit. But this morning, I want to invite some testimony, and If you're slow about this, I have a video that I'll share with you that will demonstrate testimony. But if you're quick about it, we won't need them because you will be those witnesses in a greater way. You've been listening for the Lord to speak in your life as we've been going through the service. Maybe God's got something on your heart. Even about last week's message where there was something about that really spoke to your heart. Last week I had some great conversations with some people after service, I got to say, both services, about God's grace and His power to provide in our lives whenever we give and share in those things. Maybe there's something like that you need to share this morning. And maybe there's some other testimony, though, that's on your heart. I'm going to invite you to come because I wanted us to hear it, okay? So, yes, this will require you to just be bold enough to let the Holy Spirit take charge this morning. Are you just getting ready, or are you? Well, you can. Yeah, that's fine. Hang on just a second. Make sure they get you. Because we haven't played with that mic yet. Go ahead and keep chattering along.
Okay. I have a testimony to share. I'm reminded of the scripture that says...
Hold it up closer.
Of the scripture that says God will give you the desires of your heart. And it's related to children's ministry, and it's related to me personally. My dad has been not doing well physically, and I went to visit him one Wednesday, and I was just really, really sad. I left there just thinking, oh, he's not my dad, and how much longer am I going to have him? Just one of those moments we've all had. And I came into church that evening, and there was a little girl from Mega Sports Camp way back in August who every week would come to me and say, Miss Kim, I have a present for you. I have a present for you. And I'd say, oh, you're my present. You don't have to bring me anything. This went on for months. Well, this very day, and this is praise be to God, she had a little ring box, and she'd made little slits in it. And inside that box was a little silver cross, and it was the exact same cross that my dad carried around in his pocket when he came to know the Lord that I gave him when I was a little girl. And I was just in awe how God, and it wasn't just like a replication of a silver cross, and it was silver, it had the exact, it was old carved out Holy Spirit on it, God saves, and it sits on my desk, and the testimony is that my dad will be with me forever because I will spend eternity in heaven. And it's just amazing to me how God brings it full circle. And it was just the best, most awesome gift.
And praise God for our children's ministry that, man, I'm telling you, God has been blessing so many ways in that ministry. And so excited about the work that Kim and Amy and I think about a million volunteers do in ministering in our children's lives.
Thanks. I have two situations to tell you, and one certainly is about tithing. I grew up in the Galloway Church in the old place, that's old I am, and it said that we had a teacher, Dean Bell. I don't know how many kids he had, but he raised not only his half dozen plus, but some nieces as well. So this man, back in our time, everybody in our area is poor, and we did the best we could. And so in our class, somebody said, well, how can we tithe when we just don't have enough money to go around and pay the bills? And he said, stop and think what God has said to you. Remember Job when he said, why? And God said to him, were you around when I laid the foundations of the earth? Were you there when I stopped the oceans from coming up on the land? And he said, if we have such a great God, he said, God makes more of our 90% than we will ever do with 100%. He said, it's not a question. It's God's will. We tithe. It doesn't matter. The rest will work out. We tithe. And you know what? It's true. I can vouch. It's absolutely true. And so I just want to say to you, try me, prove me, test me. All those things that God says can do. The second one is about a witness. And my sister said to me when I was going through cancer, bad days come, you know? And she said, okay, read Psalm 40 and listen to what the first 5-6 verses say. And it talks about, one word is I. I cried and everything else was gone because it said, he listened. I wondered if it was a girl or not. Anyways, it said, he listened. And then he pulled me out of the mire and the bog, and he steadied me as we walked along, and he put my feet on hard ground, and then he put a song in my heart, and the song was to sing praises to him. So it goes through the cycle that says, we've had our bad days, but God still takes the bad days and turns them into good, and he turns it for his purposes. And so when we have those bad times, whether it's cancer or death or whatever goes through, remember that God is in control, and he knows best for all of us.
Thank you so much, Kay.
Hello. So many of you know my testimony on cancer, but I have a bigger testimony that the Lord gave me through that. And about a year and a half ago, the Lord gave me a verse in the Bible, and it said, as for me and my house, we will serve you. And I'm struggling with family members that don't know the Lord. And through that verse that my mom and I pray every day, we stand firmly for a year and a half on that, I have come to several people in here that are struggling with the same thing in their lives. They have children, brothers, sisters, mothers, and fathers that don't know the Lord. And I know that I have my cancer ministry, but I have a bigger one with this because I want to dance in heaven with my family members. And each and every one of you are my family because we came from Adam and Eve. So you're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I don't want not one person to not enter the gates of heaven. And just this past week on Facebook, and I've been struggling with my son. He knows the Lord. He loves the Lord, but he's backslidden. And he wrote, and I know most of you have seen it, the 11 things that nobody knows about me that is going around Facebook. And number 10 on his was, I was raised as a Christian, and I am one. So I am thankful for that. And I'm hoping that he comes back fully, that he didn't just write that. But I just want to thank God for that, because for a year and a half, I've prayed that.
Amen.
I've got some shoes on that are too tight, so I can't stand up for very long. I was touched also by Roy's message last week regarding tithing. And we have had some times in our lives, Barry and I, when things have not gone well financially for us shortly after we moved here. And bless his heart, Barry was willing to go back to work, as was I, after 35 years of having previously worked, and God found him a job that not only paid him a little bit of money, but that he loved working with the children down at the daycare. And throughout that time, for up to the time he got that job, we had nothing except a little bit of savings. We were too young for Social Security, and yet we decided, God is so good. He has given us everything. We have to continue to tithe. Not one bill ever went unpaid. And we had bounty to continue to give to the things and the charities that we love. God does meet our every need. Not always the ones who wants a fur coat, who needs a fur coat. I certainly didn't. But he provided everything that we did need.
My name is Carol Thompson, if you don't know me. My life started out, I was born to a person who was not able to keep me. So I was adopted early in my life to a family that loved me very much. So I was given the gift of life at a time in a woman's life when it didn't make sense that she would provide life for me. So number one, I have a great gratitude to God for my life, that my life went beyond my conception. And so I've leaned in on Psalm 139 for my lifetime because God says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And he has a plan and a purpose for me. Later in my life, when I was 38 years old, I found my birth mother and made that connection. And the price for that was that my mom, who raised me, felt so distressed that she There was a time of disowning going on in my life. So there was a five-year healing time that the Lord was so faithful to us. Phil was involved too and very supportive for me. So we went through the rigors. And after all of that, there was healing and restoration and an ability to live life in a new and better way. So I'm giving God the praise for his great ability to heal wounds that are very deep and tough. And once again in our life, we're facing some tough family situations, and I'm just going to hold on. Some days not so well. Some days Psalm 13 is my psalm, but I'm going to hold on because God has been faithful, and he's not going to change. He's not going to change. Praise him.
My nephew Rudy, when he was in first grade, my sister said, "Hey, I think he has something to tell you." And I'll never forget when he sat on the arm of the couch and said, "Hey, Aunt Renee, do you have Jesus in your life?" And I said, "Yes, I do. Do you?" And he said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, how did that happen?" He said, "On the way in the school bus today, I asked him." Well, he'd raised up in Sunday school. He went his own way for a long, long time. Last week, I saw him get married. And through that wedding, I saw his testimony. He's become a really, really, really strong studier and faithful believer. And he married a young girl who had no faith at all either. And through his testimony with her, she came to know the Lord too. But the really wild thing is, she too was raised by a single mom. And just last year decided on Facebook to look up her dad, her biological dad, and found him. And he and his wife came from Arkansas to the wedding because they have become friends. And it's just wonderful to see. She not only became a believer, but she was baptized last month. And, you know, when my sister said for her whole life, you know, when the little kids get raised up and you pray for the child that you're, you pray for the future wife of your son, or you pray for the future husband for your daughter. She said, "I prayed for her. I prayed for her, prayed for her, prayed for her. And now I see all the struggles that she had gone through in her life." And to see this all culminate with a wonderful husband and wife, and, you know, to watch their life go on, it's just really cool. So, you know, it's just wonderful, that life.
Praise God for the full circle.
We've had a pretty incredible fall in the youth ministry. We've been kicking on numbers almost twice as much as what we had been. And there are so many different little moments that have just been phenomenal with kids and their spiritual growth and all these things. But this one thing in particular, we decided to make a commitment to enhance our outreach focus in our youth ministry, one of the weaker spots that we'd been kind of falling into. So what we started doing is, since we were already providing a special meal for students at the end of the month, we're like, well, let's encourage them to invite friends. So we gave all of the students a little business card that had, it just said next or last Wednesday on it, and then some times, fun, food, friends, all of these things, and had them invite friends. Our first last Wednesday night, which was in October, we had 10 new students. And out of those 10 new students, when the gospel was presented, two of them accepted Christ, and then eight of the group recommitted their lives to Christ. It just shows how amazingly faithful God is whenever we do what he asks of us, when we connect with people in a way that glorifies him. So I'm actually getting goosebumps just mentioning that right now. that night, in fact, we had these kids accept Christ, and I got to sit down and talk with them and kind of just lay out some very basic, just foundational thoughts and give them some information to help them move forward and connect them with other adults. And I was like, ah! So I go out in the hallway, and I don't know what Pastor and Kim expected, because I'm out in the hallway like, ah! but it's been amazing, because since this summer, we've seen five students come to Christ, and it's just all the glory belongs to God, because God is taking these lives of these teenagers and transforming them in a way where they are then going to have an impact on future generations. It's just incredible.
Yeah, praise God. I remember that night. Dan was kind of like pinging off the walls, and we were excited with him. And I just really praise God for what I'm seeing God do through in Dan's life and ministry, and both with the youth and with our praise team stuff. And he's really stepped up and been doing a fantastic job. Just appreciate him so much. Somebody else, you got a testimony this morning? All right, praise God. Isn't it great to hear testimonies? Does it do something for you to hear those testimonies? I mean, just think about it for a moment. Does it do something for you to hear testimonies from somebody else talking about where God has had them in their lives, how God has brought them through that? And you may be in a similar situation. You may be in a completely different world of experience. You may even be sitting here and thinking, well, okay, yeah, but my situation's even worse than that, and that kind of thing. But doesn't it do something to you to hear testimony? Testimony is so powerful, you see. And I want you to just absorb that sense of, wow, it impacts me when I hear testimony. Then I want you to visualize that. Now, if you flip that over and you say, what if somebody hears you give testimony to God? What if somebody hears that? Many of us are very hesitant, right? Many of us are very hesitant about sharing testimony with others. We kind of hold it back. We're afraid of what might come of that and all those sorts of things. But I want you to just consider, hey, when I hear testimony, it does something to me. It affects me in a really powerful way, a meaningful way, an encouraging way. You start to think about what testimony, when you do it then, can do affecting someone else. That's what you're giving to someone else, because testimony is powerful. It's personal. It's very personal. It comes from you and your personal experience, but it touches someone else then in turn personally. Because it's not just a lecture on theology. It's not just giving the details of a Bible study. It's personal from you, from your experience, and can touch someone else personally in their life experience. It's powerful in that respect, where God calls us to testify, bear witness to Him in our lives. Testimony is not really argumentative. You know, just it's powerful in that it's not, you can present your testimony in an argumentative way. You know, it's like, well, this is what God did in my life, so you want this, that's in your life, and that. You know, you can do that if you, and there may be moments where it needs to be that way. Okay, but probably more limited than we think. Testimony can just be very non-argumentative. It's not about trying to, present it with an angle and try to, necessarily push somebody at that point. Testimony can be just so very simple in terms of just sharing something and knowing when I hear a testimony, it hits me positively. It hits me with encouragement. It does something for me. What if I share a testimony with somebody else and it hits their life in that way? What if I just give them something out of my experience that they can say, huh, and God can start something? What if it can lead to more dialogue, more questions, more answers? Remember that Peter said in 1 Peter, always be ready, always be prepared, with Jesus set as Lord in your life. Always be ready to give an answer to people who ask you about the hope that you have in Him. And he said, do it with gentleness and respect. See, just testify. Tell it. This is how I got through it. This is what God has done in my life. And I've found hope and strength. I can tell you my story of getting through that kind of a problem. And the thing that I found that made a difference was this. And that can lead to somebody saying, well, I don't know about any of that stuff. Well, it can be there for you, I didn't always have it, but you could, like I came to experience it. It just can build from there. It's amazing. And testimony is powerful because it affirms Jesus. We give an affirmation of Jesus when we give testimony, right? I mean, It's like putting a validation on something that people have heard about but have never seen happen. That people are struggling to believe but have an awful lot of questions unanswered and a lot of doubts. And we can come and just give that affirmation of, it's happened. I saw it happen. I experienced it in my life. This thing is, it's real. Jesus, it really makes that kind of a difference. So that it, testimony is very powerful that way. So, you know, this morning, as you know, as we've shared some testimony, just take that positive, that impact that you feel, and just plant that in your mind. It says that's what testimony can do for people. And so I don't want to clam up about, you know, talking about Jesus. I don't want to clam up about just relating how God is in my life. I don't want to just, you know, hold that in and choke because I'm afraid somebody may take it as a negative. Remember how positive, how powerful it is in impacting when you hear testimony in your life, and just give it out as a gift. Just hand it out as a gift and see what happens, because it will build your faith. You'll build up in faith and affirming Jesus in your life. It will strengthen you in just a conscientious kind of confidence that, hey, God can work in my life. Holy Spirit's working in me, can give me the courage to speak out, to express just simply who I am, just to live that. And I can personally, you know, really live this out. You can do it. Testimony is that powerful. And so that's what I want to plant with us today, that as people who value and appreciate really what God has done in our lives and appreciate that gift of having the testimony of it imparted to us from others, let's be those givers then in turn who give glory to God, never denying Him, but testify for Jesus, because somebody else needs to hear your testimony. They need to hear how you got through a sickness. They need to hear how you got through a financial crunch. They need to hear about how you struggle with depression and how God strengthens you. They need to hear about how you have struggled with sin in your life and God has changed you or helped you in that battle and that struggle. They need to just hear about how God gives you a sense of hope day in and day out, that you don't give up, but that you continue to look forward to what God has in store. You can give that gift. So give it all away. Give it all away, all you can, because it's a blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for these testimonies we've heard this morning. They blessed us. Thank you, God, for the incredible things that you do in people's lives and providing for them financially and providing for them spiritually, in working in their lives in healing ways, in restoring relationships in life, with forgiveness and grace and peace. And thank you, God, for the restoring of our relationship with you, where we reconnect through Jesus Christ, and there's an incredible experience of you personally in our lives that we relate to others so that they can get it. Thank you, God, for the blessings that these have been to us today. Thank you for the witness that the Peru mission team gave to us just in those little series of pictures that we could rejoice over. What you've given to us to be a part of, their testimony excites and blesses us and gives us greater vision for how you work. Thanks for the testimonies, God, about our ministry in the church, Lord, and in the what's happening in our youth, our children, and seeing your hand at work in their lives that allows us to know that, God, you're doing a great thing. You are doing a great thing here in our midst. Hallelujah, God. We just want to bounce off the walls and say, thank you, Jesus. We appreciate the testimonies, God, that allow us to know that you are at work and that we can be confident in you in each and every day and situation. Thank you, God, for what you've given us here today to build on in our lives. Give us that gift in our hearts of your Spirit, that we would give it away in testimony of you. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.